We are Perek Chof. Let's review the last pasuk we did yesterday. Let's start with pasuk Yutes very quickly. We won't do the Rashi. We'll just do the Mitzudos. In this Perek, Sofar, as we mentioned yesterday, is saying goodbye to Iyov. We mentioned yesterday that there are going to be three rounds of debates between Iyov and his friends. We learned already. We're now at the end of the second round, where first Iyov speaks up. He expresses frustration, and then each one of his friends approaches him. We start with Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofar. Iyov responds to each one individually, and then there's a second round. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofar, and Iyov responds to each one individually. This is the last of the second round of responses of Sofar Hanamasi. Here he speaks up. He makes a presentation. He gives very harsh criticism to Iyov, and he tells Iyov basically that there is something called Rasha ultimately gets what he deserves, and the fact that you are suffering is a clear indication that you are a Rasha. The Mitzudas Kamat says explicitly at the end of the summary. And what's important to take note is that this is Tsofar's goodbye to Iyov. Tsofar will not participate in the third round of debates. It's over. This is where he parts with Iyov. And there are diukim in the psukim where he speaks representing none other than himself. It could be that he sensed that his friends were wrong. Their approach to Iyov and how they directed him, he appears that he disagrees with their approach, and that's why here he speaks in a different tone, only reflecting his personal opinion of Iyov's situation and his behavior, and he speaks to him directly. Now, Pasuk Yutes, in these series of psukim which we're in the middle of going through, is where Iyov describes in great detail that a Rasha, from his experience, from his observation, ultimately is destroyed. So Pasuk Yutes says, a very difficult Pasuk, different interpretations. I saw the Malam has a whole different interpretation than the Mitzudos and Rashi, but basically he says, Kiritzatz, it's a complex Pasuk. Kiritzatz, Ritzatz means to crush. Ozav means to abandon. Dala means the poor. Bayis Gozal, the home that has been stolen from the poor, that seemingly goes back on the home, v'lo yivneu, he did not build it. Now, v'lo yivneu can mean one of two things. Either it can be describing the home that has been stolen by the rush. In other words, the pasuk would then mean, this evil man, he crushes the poor. How does he crush the poor? He steals their possessions. By stealing their possessions, in essence, he is abandoning them. Instead of coming to save and to assist and to support and offer encouragement to the Rasha, he abandons them. Not only does he abandon them, he crushes them. How does he crush them? By stealing their property. The property which v'lo yivnehu, the bias that he has stolen, the wealthy Rasha did not build, he did not toil, did not express any effort. That appears to be the gist of how the Mitzudos learns the Pasuk. Then we'll discuss the Malam's approach. Let's just see quickly in the Pasuk inside in the Mitzudos. Ki ritzatz ozav dalim, ka'asher rotzas es hadalim. When the Rasha crushes the poor, the act of crushing the poor is an act of abandoning the poor. Oz ozvam, that is when he has abandoned them. V'lo kodem haritzitza, I honestly don't know what this really means, what the Mitzvah is trying to say here. Not before the ritzitza, at the time when he crushes, that is the moment he shows he could not care less about them, and he abandons them to their fate. Bayis gozal, gozal mehem bayis, the Rasha steals from the poor a bayis, ashelo bonehu, which the Rasha did not build, v'lo omalbo, did not work, did not toil. How dare this Rasha take away property that he has no connection to, he did not work for, did not pay for, did not toil in. This is what it is. According to the Malbum says that the word v'lo yivneu means he will not succeed in building and having success from this home. The Rasha has a plan. Yeah.
problem is that Negru is the future.
Okay, that's how the Malbim. Okay, that's
the
Malbim. Exactly. So the
Malbim
here is saying Lo Yivneu means this Rasha thinks that if only he can steal this person's home, then he'll demolish the home and he'll build a mansion, but he needs the property. So his plans are the essence of the pasuk is a Rasha does not live to see his plans come to fruition. The bias. Because he crushed and he abandoned the poor, therefore, as a punishment to this Rasha, Bayis Gozal, the Bayis which he stole from the poor, Velo Yivnehu, he will not succeed in rebuilding it and using it for his own glory and his own
benefit
and plans that he had. It's a cause and effect. Because you're wicked. Sefer says, I know as a fact from my observation of the way the world works, the Rasha will not succeed in his plans. Now let's just see the next. Now the Rashi pretty well. The Rashi pretty much says the same thing as what the Mitzudos says. Pasuk Chof Ki Lo Yada Sholev Bid. It's another very difficult pasuk. Ki Lo Yada Sholev Bid. No, the Rasha does not know what it means serenity. He does not know what it means to feel satisfied. This week's parsha Vachaltem Lo Sova. You'll eat to the point of satisfaction, a tremendous bracha where a person can eat and can be satisfied. A Rasha has no satisfaction in life. He eats, he's never satisfied, he always wants more. And therefore he has to continuously steal more and more to satisfy his stomach. Ki lo yada sholev bino, because he did not know satisfaction in his beten, in his womb, in his stomach. Therefore, now here are the different interpretations. Bachamudo, we'll learn now one interpretation, due to his desire to satisfy his taivos, lo yimaleit, he leaves nothing over. He continuously robs, steals, and conquers and abuses the poor to satisfy his desire, his chamuda. Chamuda means it's beloved. What does he love? He loves himself. He loves to fill. He loves himself so much that prevents him from leaving anything over for someone else. I must conquer the entire world. Pasuk of the Mitzudos. Ki lo yoda. Al. We were describing, Sefer is describing the Rasha. Al. This Rasha. Ki lo yoda shalva bebitno. He doesn't know what it means to feel satisfaction in his stomach. Ki bidu hayotamid chaseira mitzviya. Because this Rasha, that's his nature. His nature is he's always hungry. No matter how much he eats, he's still hungry. He still wants more. Therefore, what does he do? Va'oshak, he robs. Lima losa. He goes out into the world and he commits crimes to fill it up. Lazeh, therefore, lo yimolet ma, because of this intense desire. Now, the Mitzudas here is learning like similar to what the Malbim said in the previous pasuk. This is now going to be the response. Lazeh, therefore, lo yimalet ma, nothing will be left over. V'chol chemdas asho, in all of those wealth which is desirable, ki hakol yoivad, it will all be lost. According to the Mesudas, this is basically cause and effect. The second half of the pasuk says, Bachamudo lo yimalet, ultimately Hashem will punish him. Not like what I told you a few moments ago, we'll go back to that in a moment, but it's a punishment for not knowing satisfaction. And we have to add many words into the pasuk. And thus, what happens when you're not satisfied? You commit crimes. You go out. The Rasha goes out and he robs and he steals from people in order to satisfy his taivos. Therefore, as a punishment, Bachamudo, we have to loosely translate this word to mean that all of his desirable possessions which he has acquired, lo yimaleit, will not be spared. They will not remain in his possession. Hashem will ultimately strike him down and everything that he owns will be destroyed, will be taken away, will be restored, will be given back to the poor, or will be destroyed, will not remain in his possession as a punishment for not training himself to be satisfied with what he has. And because he was not satisfied, he stole from other people. And as a response, he now has to suffer. Rashi appears to be a little bit different. Pasachov and Rashi, ki lo yada, esbidu me'olam shalef, his stomach never knew what it means to feel satisfied. Bitno omolo, Rashi over here elaborates, his stomach speaks. It's as if his stomach is speaking to his mind and says, omolo tamid gizol, steal. I'm hungry. I need more. There's not enough food in the house. Go out and steal. V'hove, and bring the stolen goods, l'maleni, to fill up my stomach. Therefore, because of this, v'alkein b'chamudo. Now, b'chamudo over here means his beauty. Similar to the Mitzudos, translate the word chamuda means his prized possessions. Chemed oshro. That's how the Mitzudos, the word chemed means what's desirable, the desirable possessions. But according to the Mitzudos, it means chemed means himself, his flesh, his basar v'dam, his glory, his own existence. B'basar yoifi chemdoso, his flesh, his beautiful body, which has been fattened through the theft which he has consumed, lo yimalet. It will not be spared. What does that mean? It's not going to be spared. It's going to be destroyed. Ki yehei poiches v'hoylech, it will be destroyed. Hashem says, I will punish you, I will destroy you. You, the Rasha, your fat of your body will decay. This, your body which has been fattened through the theft that you have consumed, will be destroyed. And here he just points to that. Now Rashi goes back and explains the word. It says, chem and chem means your body. V'doimulo v'atomas ko'osh chamudo. His flesh decayed, melted earth, like worms into a osh means maggots, worms. It decayed into nothingness, his flesh. So he just points out the word chamudo in some places refers to a person's own body. Okay, so it's similar in the idea of the Mitzudos. The basic.
So now my first reaction is that it's like ill-gotten gains. Mm-hmm. You don't appreciate. You don't respect what you achieved because you didn't achieve it.
So
you work hard to build something, even if it's less. You appreciate it and hold on to it and respect it, but if you get it by stealing it,
then
it's satisfied.
But he's saying even more than that. He's saying Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to go out of his way to take it away because it's okay. Okay, now we go for the pasuk. Now in that pasuk, Chaf Aleph Ein Sarid L'Ochlo describes the nature of this evil man. Ein Sarid L'Ochlo Al Kain Lo Yachil Tuvo. There is nothing left in his closet, in his refrigerator. He is a Rasha. The nature of a Rasha is that he is a Baal Taiva, and he doesn't leave anything over on his plate. Al Kain, therefore, because he has such horrible character, Lo Yachil. Yachil means to succeed. When Mitzudah says Yitzlach, Lo Yachil Tuvo, the good that he has in this world will not be a source of success. When a person does not know how to control himself, then ultimately he will stumble. He will not succeed. There's such a Mitzudah pasuk of Aleph, pasuk of Ein Sod Yachlo, Lo Hoya Masher Mi Macholo Ad Yom Hamocharos. He does not leave over food until tomorrow. He has food in his refrigerator. He's not willing to wait to leave over some food for tomorrow because he's an incredible Baal Taiva. Why? Now it's not just he's a Baal Taiva, but over here the Mitzvah adds more interpretation to the pasuk. Adds more ideas. Ki yiftach la'ashok de machsoro. A poor person puts away food for tomorrow because I don't have enough income to buy every day more food. So I have to plan ahead. You have to be wise and plan ahead. The Rasha realizes he also does not have enough food for tomorrow, but that doesn't stop him. Tomorrow, when I don't have what to eat, I'll just go and steal more. So that's what it means over here, according to the Mitzvah, in Sarid L'Achlo, it's a negative attitude of a Rasha. I don't care about tomorrow. I'm not going to plan for tomorrow. I'm going to eat everything I have today, because tomorrow, I'm going to rob. Dei Machsor Al Kein, therefore, because of he has such a wicked attitude, Tzayfar says, you know what happens to such people? Al Kein Lo Yitzlach Tuvo V'Osho L'Skayim Yodah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will curse this person, and he will never succeed. He will not be successful. Pasuk Chaf Aleph Rashi Ein Sar Lochlo Lo Shir M'macholo L'Chalek L'Nim. A whole different interpretation. Nothing to do with the person being a Baal Taiva. Now, it's not what we're discussing, according to Rashi. We're discussing poor Midos. We're discussing that does not give tzedakah. The entire thing, according to Rashi, the very end, he makes and very clear, is a reference to stone. Every single one of these midos that is mentioned over here was, the hallmark was, the charter, the constitution of stone. Everything that you steal people's property, and you all of these different examples. But here it says, in Tzor Lachlo, he does not leave over any food, according to Rashi, Lo Shima Macholo, he does not leave over from his food, I will not eat this dish, because I'm leaving it over to feed the poor. He does not know of such a concept. Al Kain, therefore, Lo Yachol Tuvo, Rashi, Lo Yatzliach, will not succeed, Kimo, sending as Mitzudos, Yachilu, the Rochav, his ways are successful. And here he says very clearly, Uva Anshe Sidom Medader. This parasik is a reference to people of Sodom, Shehoya, Einehem, Sara, Be'orchim. Their eyes were stingy against guests. Ki Kain, Heid, that's what it says in Yecheskel, Al Sodom, Go'on, with pride, Savato Lochem. You have been sated with bread. Your gaiva, the pastor puts these two concepts together, that you express gaiva through your bread. You refuse to share your bread with poor people. V'idei ani ve'evyo lo hechziku, and they refuse to support the poor. But I was saying to Parashu, ain't sar lochlo, a different interpretation, something similar. There's nothing left for food. The word sarid is a code for Talmidei Chachamim. Talmidei Chacham are called, they're called Saridim. Okay, the Saridim, the princess. The word Saridim also means a prince, and the Prophet Rashi calls Ain't Zolach Lo Hishre to Talmidei Chacham Al Shulchanu. He did not let Talmidei Chacham Hishre to have him dwell, to settle. Sudeyesh.
Right,
Sridim
we call survivors.
The survivors. Hashem korei, among the Sridim, okay, the remnants which Hashem's called out to. It's also, I have a translation, a very good translation. I got this online from Chabad. They have a translation of every single Rashi. It's very good for me. I don't know how to translate these words. And he translates here the word, he calls them survivors. You're right, survivors. Didn't this pasuk in Yoel, the survivors to whom Hashem calls out, and it's a reference there to the Talmidei Chachamim, like we say, Yal Pleita Sheiroseinu, Sardu Polit, a remnant. Right. And we also refer to Talmidei Chachamim, the Sheiros Apleita, the same idea, the Saridim Asher Hashem Karei. So this is what the Midah of a Rasha. He refused to give anything over to a poor person. The Midah of Stone, because the pasuk in the Torah, Ki Lo Yechtal Evyon. Any government that thinks they can make a society where they're not going to be poor is mistaken. The Torah says it's a mitzias. The way Hashem created the world is ki lo yechdoin evyon. There will always be people that are in the geder evyon, and society has to recognize that there is such a situation, and to attempt to make a government where communism, socialism, these type of systems where there will never be an Evyon Mikarev Aretz, is doomed for failure. Capitalism is only 200 years old, so it's not necessarily Raya, but it's only a paragraph, but okay, my father was very into this, into different types of systems, economic systems, and you have to recognize the Torah says, Ki lo yechdal Evyon Mikarev Aretz. For a government, communism, socialism, is all based on the premise we disagree. The whole country. We can design a system where it'll never happen. It's not so. It's not the way the Torah was very pro capitalism. The Torah, there are many indications in the Torah. You study Yosef. Well, okay, I don't know all the pratim, but Yosef set up a very, very fascinating system, economic system, and you study the way the Torah directs the Dayanim, all the different mitzvos. You see that the Torah appears to be promoting capitalism, not socialism, and
The first communist, Kairos was a communist.
To some degree, that's right. Kol ha'am kulam kedoshim, v'soichem Hashem. So you want to go take the concept of kedush and apply it to the market. You want to translate. You want it to flow in a chanami. There is something to that. He had a lot of Torah on this.
Yosef
was the first economist. He was what? He has, I don't know all the details, but yeah, he has a number of essays.
Centralized decision.
In his books. Seven books. Oh, yeah. Okay, so to go, yes, that's a great idea. Absolutely, that is a great idea.
Economics, right? Aaron, who else teaches economy?
Economics. All right, let's go further. Okay, this also is a source for a very I don't remember the name. There's a certain tinus where tzaddikim are nizar. They never eat the full portion. You go to a restaurant, they give you, bring out, they charge you for a dinner. They bring out the main course, $70 for a piece of steak. So each bite, make a calculation. Each bite costs how much? It's a dollar. I tried once to do that with the matzah. It costs $20-$25 a pound of shmur matzah. So you make a calculation how many matzahs are there in a pound, and you can figure out exactly each kezayis, each bite. Forget about the kezayis. How much does it cost each time you chew a piece of matzah? How much does it cost? So there is such a concept where there's a tinus. There are all different types of fast. You don't eat all together. Tinus tiba, that's probably the best. All the sardim, they're very into tinus tiba, but there is such a called tinus where you nizer not to eat the full portion, to express, to show discipline. Nothing to do with dieting. It's just that you have a piece of steak, you have food, you have Danish. Everything that you eat at the end, you have to show control. When you get down to the end, don't eat that last piece. So that's the point is going to ask that question. Is it about Pashkas? If this, by not eating, will improve this your self-discipline, that's not called about Pashkas. Adrab, that's the very great usage of food. If you're not eating this last piece of meat, I'm going to exercise self-control, Musa. There's nothing greater than that. That is a kinyan you're acquiring for your neshama. Your guf may be satisfied with 95% of the portion of food, but your neshama will benefit even more from the 5% of the food that you choose not to eat, and therefore it's not called Baal Tashchis. The people of Sodom, or wicked people, have no concept of this holy custom. And that's what the pasuk explicitly says here. Ein sorid le'ochlo. When they eat, when they go to the restaurant, there's nothing left on the plate. If I'm paying, no, it's not just gluttony. If I'm paying, there's the mitzvah. I'm paying, I have to eat, I have to get my money's worth, I have to eat every single crumb on the plate. If it's there, it's for my pleasure. There's no such thing as discipline. This is the midah, the derech of a Russia. And therefore, it is for us to learn not to be like this and to exercise restraint to some degree.
It's not Baal Tashkis.
People, to leave over, if a person has a custom to leave over part of the portion because he wants to control himself. I have a very hard time. I can't do this.
Should take less on the pill.
No, but you're putting yourself in a situation. You're putting yourself. You served a delicious steak. Wherever you served your sona, your wife serves you a delicious steak. When you go to a restaurant, you go to a simcha, you go to a wedding, a simcha, and they serve you a delicious piece of meat, and you're eating and eating and eating, and now you're coming down to the last bite, and you're going to decide. You know what? I really want to eat it, but I'm going to exercise restraint, self-restraint. I'm not going to eat it to show who is in control. I'm in control, not the food, not the Yetzirah. Also, but you'll respond, it's Baal Tashchis. It's good quality food. If by you not eating this food, this small amount, you are going to train yourself to control your taivos, that's not Baal Tashchis. That piece of food that you're not eating is serving you a greater function, a greater role than if you would have eaten. If you would have eaten, what would it do for you if you eat that piece of food? It would raise your cholesterol. You would have health problems, gain weight. You have to.
That's the only thing you heard about.
Not eating the food is serving a greater function. That is not called Baal Tashchis. Of course, if you would have, let's say, a child, if you have a friend who's not worried about you know, if as long as there are no germs, there's no issue of health. Adrab, if you're able to go take that small amount of food and salvage and give it to someone else, if there would not be any health issue, adrab, that would be a milo. Or let's say you want to put it away for later on. Adrab, so then if you're able, you should be about hashkas. But technically speaking, the poskim speak about this concept. And again, I just want to point out here we have this idea explicitly mentioned in this pasuk: ein sarid le'ochlo. There's not a morsel left over of the rasha's food. He doesn't know from this. He doesn't understand discipline. It's about taiva, a glutton. Al kein lo yochil tuva pasuk chafbeis bimlos sifko. Yetzelo. So here is the curse. Here, the Tzofar is cursing the Rasha. At the time when he fills up Sifko, means his... it's come day tsarcho, the Mitsudo Sion says, like his measure, or let me see exactly how we translate sufficiency.
And you get
sipek, day tsarcho, sipek, when it's sufficient, when he has reached his full, is nismale saso, his measure, when his measure is complete, that's when Tsofar says, Yetzer lo, is when the enemy, Yetzer, he refers to the enemy, the tsar. Well, like we say, the Yetzer Hara, the enemy, lo, comes banging on the door. Kol yad omel tivo, and all of the hands of the omel in this context means the wicked. Omel sometimes means toil, it means labor, effort, but sometimes omel means the rishoim. The people, the omel, the wicked people will now come, all of their hands will come, like a horror movie, will come upon him to extract all of his wealth, success, and tivo enu will come upon him. It's very interesting. Tzofar, we mentioned this yesterday, has a very different vision of the world. He has a very different life experience. Every person sees the world with it from a different perspective. And Tzofar is telling Eev, I don't know, I live in a world where I clearly see wicked people don't survive. Their success is short-lived, and when they reach their height, that's it. They're done. Suddenly, all of their creditors and all of the people they've exploited, they ultimately catch up with the Rasha and they take back their property. That's exactly Molos Sifko, when he reaches his full measure. That's it. It's all over. Yetzelo, the enemy comes upon him. Kol Yad Amel, all the entire world, all of the hands, many hands of the Amel, the wicked, Tivo Enu, come upon him to take back what they own. Pasuk Habez in the Sudos, bimlos sipko be'es yimale de sipuko. When a rasha reaches his full kishayia betachlis osha, when he's at his height, top of his game, he's all the way there. Oz yihiyet sarlo. That's when the tsaros come upon him. Uchi ilu yipol min hashemayim la'aretz. He falls all the way down. The higher you go, the lower you fall. From the heaven to the earth, v'chol yad ish omel v'oven. All of the people, all of the lowlifes of this world. The omel here, he calls the yad ish omel v'oven. Evil people, tovo olav, they come upon him, la shoko, to rob him, l'chamso, two different words in the same name, to exploit him, to rob him, midah k'neged midah, ki yutash koichoy. At this point in time, he becomes weak. The Rasha becomes a weakling, and he is now taking advantage of Rashi, chaf beis, b'mulo sifko, b'hismalois tavas libo dai. When his desires, Kirashi, maybe learning a little bit differently, doesn't necessarily mean when his bank account is maxed out, the bank calls him up and says, sorry, you can't deposit any more money. It's full. There's no more room in the computer. The computer only has that many zeros. We only allocate that much space. You fill out your name on a form. So if your name is too long, you can't fill. So the bank, how much money do you have? They only have that many number of placeholders for zeros. The bank says it's full. We can't fill us up anymore. So when that happens, when the taivas are complete, Rashi says, Oz Yetzer lo, same exact thing as the Mitzudos, Tovoy Olav Tzara. Then the Tzaras come upon him, Sipko, so here Rashi goes back and explains that this word Sifko, which we have as with a sin, Rashi over here says he right away exchanges it with a samach, which is as Mechol said, loshon dai, enough, sufficient. Sha'amar le'olamo dai. Sipek kidimit hargeminon kad sapiku gamle means kad sapiku gamle, which means when the camels gamle means when the camels have finished drinking. This is when the, I guess in Bereshis, I'm like, kad sapiku gamle by Rivka umotzolohem haya hayis bakon. And this is another pasuk. Umotzolohem hayis bakon, when people will have enough, when people will be satisfied. Two different examples we find in the Targum that the word sipek means enough, satisfaction. Okay, he doesn't tell us where it is, but I have over here where it is. I have, he brings over here my, in this sefer, it's in Bereshis, Perik Chof Dalit Pasuk Chav Beis, and the second one is in Bamidbar Perik Yiral of Pasuk Chav Beis. Okay, I have over here another sefer which has the makaros of where these Rashi's come from. Okay, but over here it means these are targum, different expressions of the word sufficient. Okay, next words of the Rashi, Kol Yad Amol Tivo Enu Tischazek Olav Vitetzar Yad Aniim. So it seems over here that the tetzar yad and the poor, even the poor will come upon him. The poor, the people who he has exploited, will now take revenge. Techazek olav the tetzar, and will bring tsar. Who will bring tsar upon this Russia? The yad aniyim, the hand of the poor. Amal, according to Rashi, Rashi is translating the Amal means the oppressed, the people who have been exploited, the people who have suffered, they now will come take their revenge on the Rasha by demanding that he return to them what has been stolen. So it appears that we have a difference of opinion between Rashi and the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says the Amal means the evil people, the lowlives of the world, the lowlives, the thugs, the mercenaries, these cruel people, they will now come and attack this rich man, this rich evil person. According to Rashi, Rashi seems to be saying more that it's nida keneged nida. The people, the victims of this person, of this person's theft, will now take revenge and demand back their wealth. Pasuk of Gimel, Yehi lemalei vidno. It will be at the time. And it's again the same idea as Pasuk HaBeis. It will be that at the time Lamalei Vidno, just like it's in the previous Pasuk, when he's at the top of his game, same thing over here, when his stomach is full, Yishalach Bo Charon Apo. At that moment, the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send against him his anger, the kindling of his anger, V'yamter Olemo Bil Chumo means war. Hashem will rain upon him terror at when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wages war against him. Where else do we find the concept, the only place we find the concept of reigning when it comes to taking revenge? In Mitzrayim, the Borat. Vayam der Lekim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rained down upon the Egyptians, Borat, Men HaShemayim, and it was a Borat hail with fire in the middle. The concept of rain, that I believe was the only place we find this idea where HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes with rain. By the way, the Mepharshim point out there that it's very, very interesting, in Egypt it never rains. It's no such thing as rain. They were fascinated. Such a concept that things come out of Shemayim. They never saw such a thing. Eretz Yisrael is a land where it rains. That's the bracha of Eretz Yisrael. The sixth parasha. Menasati gishmechem b'itam. It's a land where you don't have to, there's no slave labor to irrigate the fields. Back crushing labor. Instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends rain from heaven. In Egypt, they didn't know from this concept. In Egypt, yeah?
It's not the only place. There's Sidon.
But yeah, I'm to look around. Our college rain rained down. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry, you're right. So this idea of raining, it's an idea of raining down with punishment. Let's look at the Pasuk of Gimel. L'male bidno. Yarbe boy hatzaros. Now, I told you an interpretation that's maybe, I told you what the Malbum said. Let's see the Mitzudas. Rashi seems to say different. Yarbe boy, the Mitzudas says, Yarbe hatzaros ad ki yu l'male bidno l'godol haribuy. So the Mitzudah says that when it says L'malei Vidno means not when he's at the top of his game, It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send him so many tzoros, it will be as if his stomach is full. I guess this is a midah k'neged midah. He filled up his stomach by stealing from the poor. Now Hashem will send upon him so many tzoros, will have the same sensation as if he ate a full meal. That's how many difficulties he will experience. Due to the abundance, the Hashem yishalach bo charon apo. The Mitzudos adds here a very important word, Hashem. Who here is sending upon him anger? Not people. Hashem is directing upon him anger with a shef arav, with abundance. Kimotar yishbech olav be'es, like as if Hashem is pouring rain upon him be'es at the time. When Hashem wages war against him, li parami menu, to punish him for his transgressions. Rashi.
Similar to the public,
bohem charoin apo. Ah, very good, excellent. Okay, very good, very good. This indeed is okay. Okay, let's look at Pasuk of Gimel Rashi. Yehi lemalei bitno yishalach bo charonapo, shlichus charonapo ye lemalei bitno. Hashem will send forth his anger to fill up his stomach with tzaros. Ve'ein ze loshon klola. This is not a curse. El loshon nevua ve'osid. According to Rashi, Rashi is saying something very mystical, that it's a prophecy. What is it? Does it mean that it's a real prophecy, or does it mean, does Rashi here mean Nevuah so far as a prophet? Not necessarily. It means that I know from life experience this is what happens to Arasha. Arasha does not survive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately sends forth upon him punishment.
All along, according to Rashi, Shita Pesukim are saying, Arasha has this happens to him, and this happens.
Yeah.
And this is how he does. He eats, and he doesn't leave over. But over here, it's not saying that.
It's not describing. It's describing the future. What will become?
Describing what he does.
It's describing what will happen to him. This is what's going to happen. Okay, the Yamter Aleim, Hashem will rain upon him. Who will rain upon him? The same exact thing as the Mitzvah Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Bil Chumo, when Hashem wages war, Bezaf Milchamoso, in a fiery war. Hachim Esh, the gophers, with coals of fire and sulfur. King and Shenemar, the Hashem Himtir al Sidom. Hashem rained down on Sidom, gophers for Esh, and Hashemayim. Pasik Yud Chavdalad. Yivrach, now this is a very interesting, describing the war. Yivrach Mineshek Barzel. Let's say this Russia will survive. There'll be missiles being shot at his country. Or someone will come against him with a sword. Neshek means weapons. And he will survive. He will flee from the onslaught. From what kind of weapons? The worst weapons, Barzel, made from iron. The Russia's not going to survive. Just because Russia wins one little battle does not mean he wins the war. Tachlefehu. Instead, he will be exchanged. He will be smitten by the keshes nechusha, by the copper bow. In other words, there are two different types of weapons. Similarly, is referring to b'charbi uvekashti. Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef, "I'm giving you a double portion of land, the land that I conquered from the Emorim. Asher lekachti miyad ho emori b'charbi uvekashti. Stam cherev is made from what? Barzel." A good sword is made from barzel. Bows and arrows, like Omer is coming up. I don't think you're going to buy a copper bow. You buy a little plastic bow for 99 cents. But what are bows and arrows made for? So it seems to say from the choshes, from copper. I guess the choshes, it bends. We have a bow, it bends easier than barzel. A bow has to bend in order for it to be... It has to be...
It's made out of wood.
Yeah. Depends, different types. Here it seems like keshes nechusha, or maybe it's figurative, it's a metaphor, but it seems to be a different type of metal. So in this plus, there are two different types of weapons.
There is the arrows.
The tip is made from nechoshes. Okay, it could be. So there are two different types of weapons being described in this pasuk. There's something called neshek. Neshek is a general word that refers to weapons. Okay, it doesn't refer anything specific. Seemingly, from the context of this pasuk, we're referring to a sword because it says barzel. Neshek barzel, and then there's another type of weapon which is specific called keshes nechusha. This Rasha, he goes to battle, his day has come, he's now under attack, and he survives. There's a missile launch, and nothing happens. He sends up some anti-ballistic missiles, and they intercept the missiles, and everything is good. He doesn't realize that was just a distraction. So they can send in tanks. They can send in the ground force, so they can come from the other side. They're coming in with other weapons from the other side. So don't be fooled. What Sefer is telling Eiv is that the Rasha will get what he deserves. I guarantee it. And even if when his downfall begins, and if you're only present at the beginning of the war, and it seems that he's winning, and he survives the first round, the first assault, the first round of attacks, don't worry, they'll get him eventually. He may survive one type of weapon, but the other type of weapon will destroy him. So when Yivach, although he may succeed, Mineshek Barzel, from the weapons that come from Barzel, don't worry, Tach Lefeyu, there will be an exchange. He won't be so lucky next time. The next time he will be smitten by the keshes nechusha, by the bows and arrows. Now, if you want to go further, let's see the mitzudos first. Pasuk of Dal Yivrach Kasher Yivrach Nichle Zayin Shel Barzel Oy Keshes Nechusha Tav Bechitzav Meiver Lever Bederech Mahalcho. The arrows. One more time. Kasher Yivrach Nichle Zayin. When he flees from Klei Zayin Shel Barzel, there's one type of weapon that's being thrown against him. Oz. So he survived. He was Yivrach. He fled. He survived. Don't worry. Oz, at that moment in time when he flees, Keshes Nechusha Tavrabo, a bow of Nechusha of copper, which is very strong. Tavrabo will penetrate Chitzav, its arrows, the arrows that were shot from a bow that is made from Keshes, Me'ever El Ever will penetrate from one end to the other end, Bederech Mahalcho as he passed. In other words, he will be perforated. He will be penetrated. Ratzel Leimar, he's not bulletproof. It's going to go. It goes through and through. He's all the way through. Ratzel Leimar, Im ki yinatzel mitzara achas. Don't worry. Tasig oso hashenis. The second one will overtake him. Rashi, tichal fehu, chitzim shetizrei kakeshes, yichalfu eskufa, will pass through his body, will penetrate. So the word, according to Rashi, Rashi, so tichal fehu doesn't mean exchange. I made a mistake. I thought it meant exchange. It means tichal fehu means to penetrate. To penetrate. Yivrach minei neshek barzel, although he may escape from the neshek barzel, don't worry, Tachlefeu, he will be penetrated. It will pass through his body. Keshes nechusha, the arrows. You have to hear the word into the pasuk that are shot from the keshes nechusha.
The two meanings are related because it goes all the way through from one side to the other.
Right, like it's right. It passes in places. I thought that it meant tachlefeu means that he will. All right, let's leave it. Chitzim shetizrei kakeshes yichalfu eskufa, will penetrate his body. La'avor me'ever lever. Lishna achrina. Okay, here, lishna achrina. Another, tichal feyu. Kimo tachli feyu. Keshes tikad mehu. So this is the interpretation that I told you originally. That means that in exchange, it does not mean penetrate. It means in exchange for surviving one attack, Hashem will get him with another attack. Kemo tachli fehu, keshes nechusha, the keshes nechusha will greet him, will overcome him. He will, let us see what it says over here. confront him. Okay, we'll confront him. Tikadmu. He'll run away from the Neshach Basel, but he will still be confronted by the Keshes Nechusha. Okay, pasuk Chaf Hey Shalaf Vayetze Mi Geva Uvarak Mimiro Raso Yahaloch Olav Amin. Now this is a description of battle. Shalaf means to withdraw.
Unsheath.
Vayetze mi geva. Geva means the sheath. The word geva literally means the body. In the image of a sword and a sheath, we consider the sword to be the soul. The blade of the sword is the soul, and the sheath is the guf. So here, when it says that Shalaf, the Nisham is also described as it being Shalaf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he removes the Nisham from the body. The Gemara used the same expression, like a hair by Tzadikim. Hashem is Shalaf, a hair from milk. And that same expression is used there, Shalaf, to withdraw. So here we're referring to the blade of the blade is being pulled out of its sheath.
Which is why you grew up with certain.
To perish, right? So it's also related to the body. The body shuts down. In Chanani, the word vayigva relates to the body. It's a play on the word of geva. Geva here means the body. So sholaf vayetze mi geva. We're taking the word geva, which is rooted in the word body, and we're using it as a metaphor for the sheath of the sword. Sholaf vayetze, the blade is pulled out of its sheath and is presented. And it's at uvarak. Varak means the light. The light here means the shine of the sword, the flashing sword. Mimiro raso. Then due to its, it means the bitterness. Okay, bitterness, and in this context, it means the terror, the bitter. It brings upon him terror. In other words, what it means here in the full picture is that when the wicked person sees the enemy approaching, and he sees the enemy pulling out the horror movie, and he sees the enemy pulling out the sword from its sheath, and he sees the blade is glowing, reflected in the sun, light of the sun, and knows in a few moments the blade is going to penetrate his body. He is terrified. The pacha, the bitter fear of death, comes upon him. Pasuk Chaf Hei Mitzudos. Sholaf, al, on, ki nochon hu lecheref. When the wicked person is aware that the sword is near, it's approaching. Lezek, when does this happen? Kasher mi yishalef hacheref mitiko. When a warrior withdraws the sword from its tick, the tick is the sheath, os lahav hacheref, the flashing sword, the lahav is the borak, the lighting in this context means the tip of the sword which is flashing, migoydel hamerira v'ho'ema, sheyesh bo, due to the intense bitterness and terror which the blade of the sword represents, yahaloch, this sheyesh bo yahaloch v'yashlich olav, pichodim, it travels and it is thrust upon this man, pichodim, terror. Ki yihi liboy chalol bikivo, his heart melts within, he is now terrified. So that's the very difficult pasuk. That's what it means over here. We have to really take the words and, you know, exchange them and we translate the words in a different order. You really have to start with the word mimi. When he sees the okay, sholaf ayetze mi geva uvarak mimirora. So due to its bitterness, yaloch olav emim, terror falls upon him when he sees this sword has been unsheathed, and he sees the glow of the blade it reflecting in the light of the sun. The bitterness of this experience puts him in a state of terror. Rashi pasuk chafei shalaf hashalif olav es haneshek, a person that withdraws the weapon, and the weapon here refers to the sword. Vayetze haneshek, the neshek comes forth mi geva mitoch ta'ara, from its sheath, uvarak. It's a French word which means the blade, kemo leman hayosla barak, and in that context, it means glitter. Okay, over here I have a translation from the old French. That word over here means pal nidurish, there means glitter, or it means to polish. Kemol manayos labarok. In other words, those words mean potter.
But it's the same as the flash.
The flash of the sword.
The polished sword.
Mimir ro raso yahaloch. Mim ru raso shel neshek. From the bitterness of the weapon, the bitterness of battle of the weapon, neshek yahaloch, it goes forth. And from this experience goes forth, pachad and ema upon the Rasha. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk chaf vav. Kol choshech tamun litzfunav te'achleinu. Eish lo nufoch yera sarid be'aholog. A lot of things going on over here. And this also refers to the wife of Lot. Well, it's the one thing. Let's take a look at the mitzudos right away, because it's a very hard pasuk. Pasuk Chavav, Kol Choshech, Kol Minei Cheshkas Hatzaros Temunim Ushemurim Lechalos Matzfunei Ginozov. So according to the Mitzvot, the word Tzifunav means literally hidden. Tzafun, what is hidden? His Swiss bank accounts. Okay, all of those secrets, all of his secret wealth. This wicked man thinks that he is secure. It's not so. You can't escape. There is darkness hidden and set aside for your secret wealth. What will happen to your secret wealth? Next words of the pasuk. Te'ochleyu, it will be consumed by a fire. What kind of fire? A fire, an eish lo nupach, that has not been fanned. Now what does that mean? Te'ochleyu, tisrefeyu eish asher lo nupach, bimapuach, in the bellows. Lehavira biyoser, ki biyos kein lo seitse nafsho maher v'yeh mu'une zman rav. Torture. If you have a fire, a very hot fire, then the person dies very quickly. We have this with Hanani ben Tradian. Hanani ben Tradian, when he was being executed, they put sponges upon his body to slow down his death. So if the fire is not all that hot, like you have in the radio these last couple of days, a terrible story with a prisoner, the heating in the prison did not work, and it went up to 101 in his cell. So he melted away. So I don't know what happened to him. Did he die? Or you see him?
Yeah.
He died. So there's a slow death. So if they would have put up the heat to 600, self cleaning, 950, it would have been over. It would have been over in 5 minutes. Right? It would have been over. They didn't do that. They put up the heat to 101. 101, it doesn't happen in 5 minutes. It takes a couple of hours. It's a torturous death. So that's exactly what it means in this context. The Rasha is going to die a slow, torturous death. The fire will not have been fanned. If the fire would have been fanned with the bellows, then it would have reached 950. Libun Kal. But they didn't do that. Instead, the fire that is burning the Rasha is just a lightweight heat, which is a slow, torturous death. Te'achleyu, he will be consumed by an eish lo nupach that has not been fanned. And now when this happened, look, one more time, so this te'achleyu, te'achleyu, eish lo nupach, b'mapuach, la'avir b'yoseh ki b'yoskein, lo teitzei nafsho, his neshama will not go out, maher v'yiyye mu'unez man rav, he'll be tortured for a long period of time. Next words, yera yishbar v'yar rutzatz hanisha b'holo v'im ishtoy ubanav. And here it means, and what happens to the Rasha? This collateral damage. His wife and children suffer. When he dies, there are no social programs for the Alman and for the children, and no one wants to have anything to do with them because they are associated with the Rasha. The Yera, the remnants, below in his tent, they will suffer the consequences of his evil. So a person should realize the Rasha, as they were saying about the Rasha, that it's not Kedai to be a Rasha. Although you may die, you may suffer, but don't you care about your family? Don't you want that they should have a good life? At least should not be suffer after your death? That is also part of the fate of the Rasha. This is what Sefer says. Now what does Rashi say? Rashi here says, going back to his theme, that everything here refers is an allusion to what happened in the story of Sodom. Pasuk Avav, Litzfunav, Litzarech Matzfune Ginuzim Hatzfunim Lo, that there is darkness that is set aside in honor of his hidden treasures, exactly what the Mitzudo says, it's mitzvah litzarech for the purpose or for directed at matzpune ginuzim hatzefunim lo. No, I take that back. Litzarech matzpune ginuzim, which are set aside for him, his secrets that have been put away in hiding for him. There's going.
Well, I think it means the punishments that are put away. That are awaiting him.
Okay, so you want to say it's a okay, so it's a different interpretation then. Not like the Mitzudos. That there is darkness, there's Gehenin, that's Tamun, that's waiting, Litzfunov, that is waiting for this person. This person, Litzarech Mitzpune Ginuzim, for the purpose of what is hidden away in secret, Hatzefunim Lo, that are waiting for him in secret, okay? His punishment.
If that's
the
darkness that is reserved for the punishment of the wicked, then that's in contrast to more rough.
Just the opposite. The tzaddik, if there is good, that is hidden away, that is for good. Absolutely. Very good comparison. Very good parallel. Eish lo nupach. Eish shel gehenim. Okay, so he learns here the fire refers to Gehenim. Rashi is midrashik. Yera sarbi halo. It'll be evil for the sarid. Tovai rol the sarid sheishba halo. Period. Who's it referring to? Kol apar shakula ba'anshei Sodom. Now, what does that mean then? Next Rashi, Yera sarid b'halo, afilu lot, himola, hanim lot mehem, even lot that did survive. Even though he did survive, what happened? Borol oholo. Who's that? Zo ishto. Shehoisa nitziv melach. She turned into a pillar of salt. Kain matzasi b'medrash Rebbe Tanchuma. So this pasuk here alludes to the Rasha. The Rasha here is the Anshei Sodom. Anshei Sodom, they suffered. Lot did not. Lot survived in the zechus of Avraham. But his wife was not so fortunate. She turned into a nitziv melach. And Yera Sarid Beholo. Okay, next pasuk. We'll try to finish up quickly. Yigalu Shemaim Avono. Part of a person's punishment, Sefer relates, is he loses his good reputation. It's one thing for a person to suffer quietly. Person is a Rasha. The whole world gives him kavod, gives him honor. But he's living a torturous life. Every day there are creditors, he has tsaris. The world doesn't know about this. But it's another madrega when you turn on the computer and you go look at the headlines and the whole world, it's the top story on Drudge. The whole world says the most nasty things about you. Yigalu Shamayim Avono. The heavens reveal your sins. The eretz miskomama lo, and the earth rise up against you. Let's read the text together. The earth itself rises up to punish the person. Okay, let's see the mitzvah. Pasuk of Zayin. Yigalu shemayim merov hatzaros asher yavo yolov min hashemayim yinigla v'noida lo shehu rav pesha. Due to the enormous number of tzaros, the whole world knows that this person is a rasha. Miskomama lo tikve olov leoyev lipar bimenu. Now, what does this mean? This really relates very much to this week's parsha with the teichacha that the earth itself will abandon Klal Yisrael and the Teichacha for their sins. Here, this man's fields will refuse to produce produce. The fields say, we're going to work our heads off to produce for this man crops, produce. The owner of our land is a Rasha. So the earth itself will take the law. The earth itself will take the law into its own hands. Where do we find it? And we find that the earth has bechira. The earth has bechira in Ma'aseh Bereishis. Hashem said to the earth, "You shall eat osa eats pri," and instead the earth eats osa pri. That's why we say in the davening that Hashem, you shall remember ki ofar. We come from the earth. Man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu create HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the I don't remember the exact words of the Nusach HaTfilah, but one of the lines of defense we employ in the Nusach HaTfilah is that we Hashem come from the earth. Hashem made man by combining earth and water. The earth is a source of sin. Zohar Ki Yofar Anochnu. The earth violated Hashem's command. Eitz peri, the earth produced Eitz oseh peri. So Hashem, what do you want from us? We are a product of sin. If the earth sinned and we come from the earth, we are prone to sin. You have to go easy on us. So we see that the earth has power to make decisions. When the person is a tzaddik, the earth senses the man is a righteous man, and the earth rewards man by producing good crops. But when the earth senses that man is corrupt, the earth also takes the law into its own hands and refuses to produce crops. And that idea is written, is expressed explicitly in this pasuk. The eretz, the earth itself. Forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's out of the picture. The earth itself has been given a certain bechira, a certain koach to take the law into its own hands. The eretz miskoy momolo. The earth itself rises up against man to seek justice.
So why do we know if the Hashem punished the land also?
Because the
three tefachim
of the earth was because the earth also was corrupt. What does it say? I don't know the answer. The earth, the sin was so great that the earth was also defiled. Let's just finish up this pasuk. Pasuk of Zion, the earth itself will yearn to serve as an enemy to man. The earth will not produce crops. Uchidoma and a similar concept. Let's look at Rashi pasuk Chav Zion. An enemy will rise up against you. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll stop because there's a summary.